Today, here on Cincy Business Talk with Mike Roth, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer, we'll be talking to business leaders about how they have grown their businesses and people. We discuss new strategies, tactics, and philosophies which lead to positive growth in our marketplace. Our program is sponsored by Sandler Training by Roth & Associates. Each week, we'll talk with our best Cincinnati area top executives about their tools and insights. Our regular listeners will be given the edge that will help them win in a competitive environment which we live. Simple solutions to complex problems which challenge all of us are rarely correct. We will address complex problems or opportunities with appropriate solutions. If you have questions or comments, contact Mike at mikeroth@rothconsulting.net or call Mike at 513-753-9400. Now your host, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer, Mike Roth.
Thanks, Scott. This is Mike Roth. I'm here today with Peter Grudmanson. He is the president of Recruit Military. Thanks for joining us today, Peter.
Happy to be here, Mike.
Good. Before we go further, let me remind people about some of the upcoming shows. Tomorrow's show is Chip Shriver. He's the president of Shriver Security Systems. They're the Sonatrol dealer in this town, security business. Next week, on Thursday, we have Mike Hoffman from the Miranda Homes of Cincinnati. And we have Bill Scarborough. He is the owner of Harmony Hill Winery. He even promised to bring some wine. We'll see if that happens. It'll be a happy show. And on Thursday the 17th, we have Raymond Sarnoff, who's a web developer. He owns a company called Sarnoff Consulting. And then we're going to have from Jack Weiland Builders, Jeff Weiland. And then we have a winner of the 40 Under 40 Award, one of my favorite guys, a fellow named Ryan Reibold, who started up his own credit card processing company called Infotech, and he's done very well for himself, and he's going to tell us how he has done that. Other Sandler events coming up Wednesday, October 16th at the Clovernook Country Club. We still have a few seats available for the Business Builder Series that runs from 11:30 to 1:15. That program is called Seven Deadly Sins of Sales. There is a $25 fee for that program, and I think there are four or five seats still available. Sandler training calendar goes on as usual. We have the Foundations program on Wednesdays, and we have President's Club on Friday mornings. And in November, we have another cold call camp coming up for those people who have to make cold calls. How to get by gatekeepers, how to build 3 dynamite scripts for contacts, and 5 ways to make other people call you back when you leave a voicemail. So now let me tell everyone about you, Peter. Peter's 49 years old, and he's the president and CEO of Recruit Military. It's a 16-year-old company that excels by leveraging the talent of our nation's finest people, our veterans. The company helps other companies attract, appreciate, and retain high-quality veterans as employees and or students. Peter's career has been dedicated to leadership in media, education, and the information business. Information business, you mean like IT?
Information and database, publishing, that sort of thing.
Okay, good. Peter's worked with companies like the Dropout and Truancy Prevention Network.
Yes.
That's one I never heard of. The Priceless Legacy Company, Beckett Media LP, Design Guide Publishing, and Jobs.com. That's kind of similar to Recruit Military.
It sure is. Part of the story.
Part of the story, okay. Early in his career, Peter worked as an investment person at Morgan Stanley. What did you do for Morgan Stanley?
Investment banker, corporate finance, and debt capital markets.
Okay, the good part of the business.
At the time.
Yeah, okay. Peter is a former U.S. Marine field artillery and intelligence officer. Peter is a graduate of the Harvard School of Business MBA and Brown University BA. Peter also serves as an honorary counsel for Iceland in North Texas.
That's right.
There probably aren't very many people.
There aren't a whole lot of Icelanders in the world, and there are even fewer in North Texas. But those that exist there need me for emergency passports and visas and that sort of thing.
Oh, okay. So all 3 people talk to you.
It's a few more than 3, but not many more than 3.
Okay. Peter was active in the Boy Scouts as a leader and is married to the former Kathleen
Voutte,
of Bronxville, New York.
Our hometown. We're both from the same hometown, just north of New York City.
Yeah, Westchester.
Exactly.
But if you can't tell, I'm from Long Island. Peter works and lives in 2 cities. Dallas, and in Cincinnati.
That's right.
There's four children. Glad that you have a commute like that. I used to do that when air travel was easier. Peter, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your company?
Sure. Well, Recruit Military is the more interesting part of the story. So it's a company that's about 16 years old, and it exists for one purpose alone, and that is to help organizations excel by hiring high-quality veteran talent. As a former Marine myself, I have a strong belief that if you're looking for high-quality people, and all organizations are looking for high-quality people, a great place to fish for high-quality people is the pond of veterans, and we are the guide to that space.
Mm-hmm. So Recruit Military has been around for 16 years, and you're an ex-Marine yourself.
I am.
What drew you to company?
Well, two things, really. One is the mission itself, and not just the national or community service aspects of hiring veterans. That's rewarding in and of itself. But what's far more interesting is the issue of helping high-quality people excel in organizations. We'll probably get into it a little bit later, but it's interesting that organizations tend to hire very defensively. They tend to find out what can go wrong when they hire somebody. When you're talking about a veteran, they very often bring intangibles that are hard to measure in an interview. They're hard to capture in a resume. And as a result, those individuals are going to be likely successful on the job because of the intangibles they bring: discipline, teamwork, hard work, resiliency, things like that. And so the challenge that inspires me intellectually is, how do we articulate to companies and how do we give them tools and processes to hire high-quality people with that in mind? That the hiring process that most companies follow is a bit older, a bit more defensive, and not as innovative as it should be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
Well, our currently the way we're structured is we have four major product lines. One is our events business. We do 67 events around the country, including, for example, on October 3rd, we'll be in Cincinnati at Paul Brown Stadium. We'll also be in Baltimore. And we, at these 67 events, we have typically anywhere from 50 to 80 companies present. And then we have anywhere from 400 to 1,000 veterans attending to meet those companies. So events are a big part of the business. The other three lines of business are a job board. We have a database, the largest database of veterans. 625,000 veterans are in our database.
So you have more veterans than Monster.
Well, in a dedicated database just for veterans, mm-hmm. Yes. Monster has so many people in it, I'm sure there's some veterans in there, but that's not really what they focused on. So we are focused square on the whole issue of veterans and, to some extent, spouses. A third part of our business is a magazine called Search and Employ that we distribute on military bases at the transition services offices that allow companies and schools the opportunity to market themselves to veterans or soon-to-be veterans, active duty personnel, as they transition.
So this magazine is given away free?
Given away for free.
At the base?
At the base in the transition services offices.
So I know I'm going to be leaving the military in 6 months.
Exactly. Well, in all four or five with the Coast Guard services, there is required training on the way out the door. It's sort of like an outplacement. It's called transition services, ACAP or TAPS, depending on the service. And in those classes, they hand out our magazine. In that class, it's everything from dress to success to how to write a resume and that sort of thing. And then the final line of business we're in is professional services or recruiting. We actually do actual recruiting services for companies that know exactly what they're looking for and they want us to find them.
Mm-hmm. So you're working in the recruiting business as a retained search or as a
mostly contingency? Mostly contingency. We do some retained, but the bulk of it is a combination of junior officer work, but also a lot of skilled trades. We're very much called on in the energy, transportation, logistics areas. They're very eager to get their hands on veterans that either have or can be trained to possess skilled trades.
So in other words, if I was looking for a pipe fitter or a welder,
exactly,
you probably have some veteran that's got that background skill.
Exactly, or the aptitude to learn. And both of those categories are great. And, of course, you want not just to be a good welder, but also show up on time, take charge of a group, be drug-free, all the things that an employer needs today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's real important, especially in some of those skilled trades where you're dealing with dangerous things.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Running 67 events a year. That sounds like a lot.
It is. 38 different cities, 67 events. We have an active staff, and we have it down to a science. We've been doing events for about 8 years. Honestly, no one does them like us. There are lots of veteran career fairs out there, but usually it's four card tables at a VFW post.
Mm-hmm.
VFW does great work, but what they don't do is put on high-quality, large career fairs like we do.
So if someone's on active duty and they wanted to be at the Paul Brown event,
mm-hmm.
how would they do that? They have to get
well, in the case of Paul Brown in Cincinnati, they would probably come down from Dayton, from Wright-Patt, the Air Force personnel, or up from Fort Campbell in the Army situation. It's a good question, though. We actually have our events in cities where employers are, as opposed to on base where active duty military are. And that's for two reasons. One, it's a convenience to the employers. And two, it is the fact that about 20% of our veterans are recently transitioned. About 80% have been civilian experience. They've been out for anywhere from 1 to 20 years. And so as a result, it makes a whole lot more sense to be where the jobs are rather than on base. And also, this kind of sounds almost silly, but most military personnel, especially a junior enlisted person, 22 years old, they're thinking about getting home to their friends and maybe try to get their old girlfriend back. They're not really focused on a job until they get back home. And about 80% when they get off active duty return to their home of record.
Mm-hmm.
So to be recruiting on base is not a terribly efficient. It's a nice feel good, but it's not a very efficient way to get workers for a given organization.
Mm-hmm. Peter has agreed to take telephone calls. So if you have a question for Peter during the show, it's 646-595-4916. I think we have time for one more question before we take a commercial break when we'll screen the calls. You said you have 67 employers.
No.
Oh, 67 events. How many 80 employers come to the
event? It can be as high as 80 or 90. It's typically on average about 60 or 70. Now, it varies. We'll do a Nashville, for example, might have 40.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do a Dallas, Houston, New York, Chicago, and easily hit 80 or more.
Mm-hmm. And these are companies that said they are definitely looking for one or more candidates.
Absolutely.
Who have military background or experience.
Exactly. And it varies. It's across industries. Bank of America, Schlumberger, Chevron, Home Depot, Advanced Pierre Foods. It's an endless list. Predominantly larger companies, but quite a few small companies as well. It could be Bob's Furniture Company as well.
Do you charge the employers for having a...
We do. That's our business model. Our business model is 99.9% employer pay, and to some extent schools and franchisors as well, but predominantly employers who pay to be at our events, pay to be on our job board, and pay to be in our magazine.
So you might have a franchisor who's selling a carpet cleaning franchise.
Exactly. Those sorts of things do exist. It's a smaller part of our business because it's a smaller fraction of the veteran force that is appropriate to buying a franchise. It's a great choice for some, but not a good fit for others.
Good. Let's take our first commercial break here. We're going to be listening to Jimmy Fox from Tip Club. Tip Club is a networking organization that I sponsor here in Cincinnati. The next Tip Club meeting is October 17th. That's a Thursday from 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. here at our training center, 4357 Ferguson Drive. Jimmy, why don't you take it away?
Hi, I'm Jimmy Fox of Tip Club. Tip Club is a professional networking organization whose members help each other succeed. We meet once per month and provide a forum where business-to-business professionals are able to connect with more desirable opportunities and build long-term strategic partnerships. I'm inviting Cincinnati Business Talk listeners to come to our free networking event. You'll have the opportunity to meet new people, share leads and referrals, and grow your business through strategic alliances. Membership in our Cincinnati group is open to only one person per specific trade or occupation. Business-to-business professionals only, please. We do not accept multi-level marketing or recruiting-driven memberships. This is our only group in Cincinnati. We'll meet on the third Thursday of the month from 7:30 to 9 a.m. at Sandler Training by Roth & Associates, 4357 Ferguson Drive, Cincinnati, Ohio. To reserve a seat, please go to www.tipclub.com and click on the events tab at the top of the page. Then, just scroll down the list until you come to the Cincinnati event. Or you may call 800-798-0270. That's 1-800-798-0270. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you at our next networking event.
Peter, this is Mike Roth back with Peter Goodmanson from Recruit Military. Peter, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you or your staff after the show?
Absolutely. Email peter@recruitmilitary.com. Our website is recruitmilitary.com, and our phone number is 513-683-5020. That's 513-683-5020. Or again, the website is recruitmilitary.com.
Seems we have a caller, Peter, so let's bring him online. Is this Scott?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Scott, would you like to ask Peter your question?
Absolutely. Peter is a Marine veteran myself. It seems very obvious to me that companies should very much want to hire veterans. Why, in your opinion, is this even an issue?
Well, that's a good question. Well, first of all, Scott, thanks for your service. Always good to talk to a fellow Marine. A couple answers to why companies don't hire more veterans, in my opinion. One is this condition of what I call defensive hiring that I mentioned earlier, that companies will often think about what can go wrong with a hire rather than really think about what can go right. And veterans bring so much in a positive direction that they're often focused on the negative. Which brings us to the second point. Sometimes the elephant in the room is the feeling that veterans are somehow damaged. There's whether it's PTSD or other problems, mental or physical problems, that somehow our society, our media, our Hollywood has emphasized this image, especially in a post-Vietnam era, that there's something damaged about veterans, which is an unfortunate prejudice, especially when one looks at PTSD numbers that a lot of researchers have uncovered, that PTSD is actually pretty prevalent in the society as a whole for non-veterans, and veterans only suffer from it a little bit higher than non-veterans. And finally, and this falls more on the veterans themselves, veterans often lack job search skills. They don't know how to put together an elevator pitch. They can't necessarily articulate their own skills and benefits, and it's really incumbent on them to learn how to articulate themselves in writing and in person during an interview.
Is that covered for you, Scott?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. You know, I've got to bring up one of the – I've had a lot of experiences with veterans in the workforce. In later years, actually much better experience than my very first one, which was really quite poor. A CEO hired a ex-Army drill sergeant as my company's head of customer service. And he had never been in customer service, and he treated – my clients like new recruits.
Right. Well, there's a good example of it's incumbent on the company to understand what they're hiring for and incumbent on the veterans to articulate their value. And now the role of a boot camp drill sergeant in the Army or a drill instructor in the Marine Corps is to break down and then build up a platoon of recruits to turn an 18-year-old mall rat into a soldier or a Marine. Totally different than customer service. However, had that individual been properly placed, there might have been a warehouse somewhere that needed squaring away. Mm-hmm. There might have been a part of a production floor. Or
he might have been a terribly successful cold calling salesperson.
Absolutely. The aggressiveness of mission accomplishment is very very useful in a sales environment as well. Mm-hmm. So I would fault both that individual and the organization for not making a proper fit.
Right. And we have seen over the years some highly successful veterans in sales roles and entrepreneurial roles.
Absolutely.
One of my favorites is an 81-year-old doctor who, after 50 years of being a doctor, quit the profession and jumped with both feet into a multi-level business, came to me and said, Mike, I want to be trained. There was money down on the table that I got to get trained so I can be a sales professional and grow my new business.
Lifelong learning. You got to love that.
Hey, he says to me, I'm the bionic man. I'm going to live to 120.
He probably will.
Hey, I wish him a lot of luck. He still comes to class on a semi-regular basis. So you have salespeople there.
Absolutely. Yeah, 14 of them.
14 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking to companies about either professional recruiting or buying a table at one of your events or running an ad in one of the magazines.
Exactly. We call it solution selling. They're actually, first of all, they start with understanding what the client organization is trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
We find that people who are interested in hiring veterans are interested in one or more of the following things. One, they're just patriots, community service-oriented individuals. Sometimes they are compliance-driven. There's something called the Office of Federal Contract Compliance, OFCCP, that requires federal contractors to hire a certain percentage of veterans. It's 8% recently announced. There are others who are have measurable metrics that show that veterans are a better bet for hiring for certain positions than others. And then finally, there are those that really measure things like cost per hire, and they realize that it's a very cost-effective means of hiring high-quality talent to go to the veteran pool.
Hmm. I was talking to one of our clients yesterday who said he was looking, would look seriously at hiring a veteran because I knew you were coming on the show. He said he's looking for reliability, people who actually show up at work every day.
That's right.
And on time.
Show up, team-oriented, disciplined. Now, that's not to say that veterans, like any other population, there's a certain small percentage of those who don't live up to those ideals. But in terms of averages, you have a better chance of getting those positive attributes out of a veteran than you will out of anyone else off the street.
And that's because they're trained into those.
Trained, and they're also selected. It's self-selecting. So you imagine this country. You mentioned earlier I worked for a company called Dropout and Truancy Prevention Network. 25% of American high school students today do not graduate within 6 years. So already to enlist in the forces, you have to be a high school graduate in almost all circumstances. So you're already dealing with the top 75% right there.
Mm.
Then you're dealing with an individual who at the age of 17, 18, 19, or 20 put their hand in the air and says, yes, I'm willing to go to be screened. I'm willing to go to boot camp. I'm willing to be tested. I'm willing to be trained. I'm willing to do what I'm told. Go to anywhere from Afghanistan to North Dakota and do what they're told. That's an extraordinary person. By definition, we're talking 3% of the population as a whole. So it is a selected subset by definition.
And the population in the military, for the most part today, has selected their own way in.
Exactly. In fact, it's all volunteer. So I was in active duty 85 to 88. And so when I was a young lieutenant, we had lieutenant colonels and majors who remembered the draft years and the sergeants major and so on. And they told stories of what a different set of troops that was back then. I was, even by the late 80s, mid to late 80s, had transformed enormously from an earlier age. There are some national advantages to conscription, but very few officers I know would ever want to go back to conscription.
Because you're dealing with people who want to be there.
Exactly, by definition.
Good. Do you have a unique marketing advantage at Recruit Military? Are there other organizations that recruit military people?
Yeah, we do. Actually, it's a very crowded space in many ways. There are many nonprofit organizations. There are many government entities. The state of Texas, for example, employs something like 70 or 80 individuals who are just involved with veteran hiring. As it turns out, without sounding too smug, competing against the government and nonprofits is a little bit like fish in a barrel. However, our real advantage is a couple things. One is competence. We put on a good event. We have a high-quality database. And so just workmanlike competence in doing what we say we will do, that also puts us in a top percentile right off the bat. In addition to that, we have high-quality people. We have the majority of our employees are veterans themselves. They've been there. They know it. They feel the passion, and they can articulate. And finally, we have a distinction in that unlike the nonprofits and the government entities, we are focused squarely on the demand side as opposed to the supply side. So we see veterans as an opportunity. We go to organizations and say, let us help solve your human capital problems with high-quality talent. That's a very different proposition than saying, what are we going to do with this guy? He needs a job. And most of those nonprofits, and like most governments, they think of the individual as a problem to be solved, not an opportunity to be had.
Mm-hmm. So you're actually aggressively going out into the marketplace and finding companies that might benefit by having a veteran.
Absolutely. It's all on the demand side, not the supply side.
Good thinking. What do you see as the opportunities and possibilities in the marketplace?
They're huge, actually. A lot of it has to do with learning how to segment our database and articulate the value of subgroups within our veteran database to employers. So right now, most of our space, and we're similar in this regard, we bring general employers to an event with general veterans. I don't mean general in rank. I mean all-purpose veterans. And so, in fact, we can help educate our employer clients to understand that there are subsets. Like, for example, some people, when they think of veterans, they think of a Rambo-like sergeant with a machine gun hosing down bad guys. Well, those do exist, and we have those types. And for certain roles, they are appropriate, those sorts of warfighters. On the other hand, there might be the sort of little nerdier sonar operator on a submarine type guy, the type of guy who can sit and listen for clicks and beeps for 12 hours straight and focus and analyze and bring his brain to bear, even though his brawn may not be quite equal to that earlier sergeant.
So you might be looking for computer techs.
Exactly. So my point is there's tremendous diversity. I like to say that our military is the best of America, but it is still America. And as a result, we have men and women from all walks of life who are brought together in a common purpose, adapt to a common culture that is enormously diverse. Even people who, for political or other reasons, denigrate military service or the military experience, think of sort of mindless marching to order taking. However, I've never seen such diversity as I have in the military. People from all types, all walks of life, all accents, all social classes, and it's amazing how it comes together and works.
Mm-hmm. Not that diversity can really be a good thing.
A huge asset.
Huge asset. What do you think employers are looking for right now when they tell you, I'm interested in hiring a vet? What are they really saying?
Yeah, it depends. As I said earlier, there's sort of a mix. Some are saying in sort of patriotic terms, in community service terms, that all other things being equal, they'd like to hire a veteran. And I appreciate that sentiment, and that's a good thing. But what others are saying is that there are either attributes, skills, or attitudes that they're looking for. Attributes are things like people who tend to show up on time, that are disciplined, and so mm-hmm. on. Skills are very specific skills. Might be soft skills like team management. It might be harder skills like mathematical analysis or quantitative analysis, that sort of thing. And then finally, attitudes, can-do spirit, team orientation, mission orientation, those types of things. And that's really what employers are looking for, these intangibles.
Mm-hmm. When I talk to employers about salespeople, the two things that they're almost universally looking for are drive and ambition and someone who's got control and close as a competency.
Absolutely. And the ability to close very often is tied to confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who knows they can get over the wall or up the rope is someone who can put the sale.
Yeah, that's closely related to a behavior we call taking action.
Yep, action orientation, absolutely.
Yeah, the guy who won't pull the trigger won't succeed.
No, absolutely. And I think back to I had about a year of training when I was a junior officer, 6 months at what the Marines call the basic school at Quantico, Virginia, and 6 months at the Army's Field Artillery School at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And the lasting phrase I remember is, "What now, Lieutenant?" You'd be in the middle of an exercise. Some captain would jump out from behind a tree and yell in your face, "What now, Lieutenant?" And interestingly, the answer was always attack. Very much a Marine mentality. But I've always kept that lesson with me throughout my career, that it's all about action and attack. And to choose not to do something, is to choose not to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So when in doubt, attack, attack, attack.
Well, that's a good philosophy. You said that you have one of the largest job boards for military. Are you developing that in-house?
We run that entirely in-house. Like I said, I've been around for about 16 years. It is a leader in the space. There are a lot of small regional databases, but we're the go-to one. There are about a little over 10 million working veterans in this country. Like I said, we have about 625,000, which is the largest database.
Good. We're going to take another short commercial break here. and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. We're going to listen to a couple of Sandler commercials.
Imagine you just left your prospect's office and he now has your proposal, quote, or estimate. What do you suppose he's going to do with that valuable information that you just gave him for free? Call you tomorrow with an order? Get real! He's shopping it around to the competition. Hi, this is Mike Roth, founder of Roth & Associates. I'm the most experienced Sandler sales trainer in Cincinnati. I'm constantly amazed how salespeople operate. They believe a prospect asking for a proposal means the sale is as good as closed. Face it, trained prospects will turn you into an unpaid consultant. For over 20 years, we've been coaching, training, and challenging professionals who are 100% committed to long-term sales growth and profitability, no matter what it takes. If you're deadly serious about increasing sales, call me at 513-646-6523. Find out how Sandler Training can make you better, faster, and stronger. Or register now for our next open house, 513-646-6523. This is Mike Roth, the most experienced Sandler sales trainer in Cincinnati. Hi, this is Mike Roth, founder of Sandler Training by Roth & Associates, the most experienced Sandler sales trainer in Cincinnati. You've heard our commercials about sales and sales management, but you haven't made the call for some reason. Maybe you're having your best year ever. Maybe you think a sales development company won't work in your industry. You're different. I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard that. Maybe you're afraid that if you called, you'd buy something. If you're happy with all your sales and profits and believe you have all the answers or simply don't see yourself investing in yourself or your people, then don't make the call. We have nothing for you. For over 20 years, we've been coaching, mentoring, business owners and sales professionals who are serious about their careers. So if you believe that Sandler Sales Training might make you better, faster, meaner, and stronger, call me at 513-646-6523 or register for our next open house, Roth & Associates, the most experienced sales trainer in Cincinnati. You can check us at www.rothconsulting.net.
This is Mike Roth. I'm back with Peter Goodmanson. Peter, we have a theory of operation here in business that simple solutions to complex problems are invariably wrong. Therefore, if you have a complex problem, you need an equally complex solution to solve it. Perhaps you could share a complex problem that you experienced and the equally complex solution that you apply that someone might be able to lift up and move to a different industry.
Well, I probably would start with the issue of messaging at Recruit Military. As I said earlier, we are squarely focused on the demand side of the equation, and we believe that by focusing on the needs of organizations, in the long run, veterans will be better served. I have some concern, and we have some concern, that may make us sound callous, too capitalist, too focused, not focused enough on the needs of individual veterans. So a challenge we have is in communicating that business serious message to our marketplace, but at the same time not losing the compassion for individual veterans and their plight. Or like I mentioned earlier about the PTSD, for example, I don't mean to make light of the fact in any way that there are veterans who have suffered, whether it be brain injury or psychological trauma from things they've experienced on the battlefield. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge that problem is a small fraction of the veteran population as a whole. So to talk about these issues with hard numbers and to frame the issues in a way that is not in any way belittling of the real problems, but at the same time focusing on the greater opportunity to hire veterans. So in terms of a solution, we've spent a lot of time, effort, and resources focusing on fine-tuning that message, finding ways to get publicity using media and social media and direct promotional materials of our own to translate that message, that we are a serious a business solution for a great opportunity in hiring veterans.
Mm-hmm. Peter, how many veterans will be, or soon to be veterans, will be leaving the military and joining the commercial workforce?
Every year it's about 200,000 come off active duty and about 100,000 come off of the reserve service. And those numbers are, for the next 4 years or so, will be a little bit higher than historical numbers. So that'll go up a little bit. We know from that $200,000 individual number, however, it goes back at least from the post-Vietnam era. So
200,000 are definitely looking for a new job.
200,000 are coming off active duty, right. Some fraction already have a job. Some fraction are headed right to school. It's very common for enlisted folks to take advantage of the GI Bill and go right to school. Others are retiring at the end of 20 years. Most retirees are still in their 40s, and they plan to keep working in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But they will all need new opportunities when they take their uniform off.
Mm-hmm. And people who are in the leaving the reserve, aren't they working in the workforce anyway?
They are. They actually suffer. The reserve and National Guard components actually suffer from higher unemployment than others. There are a couple of theories for that. One of them is that employers, despite the USERRA laws and others that are designed to thwart this, there is some belief that they may be discriminated against by some employers who don't want an ACE employee to get called up for active service and lose that opportunity. Whether or not that's true overall, I'm not sure. But that's one claim. The other issue is, again, they just tend to be younger, and so they're less experienced, not all, but so the reserve component does suffer from more. But, yes, many of them are either in school or working civilian jobs.
But they're looking for something better when they come out.
Exactly, exactly. Not uncommon. We have a lot of followers in the reserve. Some are career, some are just in for 5 or 6 years, a shorter period.
Mm-hmm. They went into whatever education they could get.
Could be educational benefits. It could be some reservists start, and I was a reservist as well after my active duty period in Garden City, Long Island. I had a mortar platoon out there in the mid-90s, actually.
Didn't need too many mortars in Garden City.
No, it wasn't a very safe place to shoot.
You hit a million-dollar house.
Well, I was going to say, but there's some big backyards. But with a 35-meter bursting radius, that wasn't very safe. No, we went down to Fort Dix, New Jersey, or up to West Point to shoot. A lot safer to do so there, I know what it is to be in the reserves. But reserves, sometimes people enlist in the reserves or serve as an officer in the reserves because they don't quite want to make the commitment of going to active duty. The irony is the way our force structure is designed is quite a few of those in the last 20 years have been called up for service overseas all the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens. Perhaps you could from your military background, a business background, give our listeners a leadership tip.
Yeah, I think that there are so many. What I learned in the Marine Corps, I actually first learned in the Boy Scouts, was reinforced in the Marine Corps, which is leadership is easy. There are just two components: accomplish your mission and take care of your people. I think keeping focused on that truism alone is the key to leadership success. Another specific tip that I often think about is to keep repeating the message. A leader's role is not unlike a politician, that you have to repeat. You're on a constant campaign, in a sense, to repeat what it is that the organization stands for, what it is that you're trying to accomplish. I like to start meetings inside the company with just recounting, almost like a creed in a religious service, to repeat, why are we here? What are we trying to accomplish? And you can't repeat the big picture enough, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What time in the morning do you have your leadership meetings?
Yeah, we start as early as 8. Not so bad, but that's because a lot of our employees need to get up and work out in the morning.
Okay.
Or they have family obligations and so on. But yeah, it's a bit of an early to rise, early to work culture.
No, early as 6.
Yeah, that's true. Like I said, we're civilians now, so we get to kick back a little bit.
Yeah, I've worked with some minor league sports teams. If you want to be on the baseball sales team in the minor leagues, you're at a sales meeting at 6 or 7 a.m.
Wow. Yeah. Since we're dealing we deal with time zones as well. So from Cincinnati, we're calling in to the West Coast and so on. So that would be awfully early out there.
Okay. Do you actually have people on the West Coast?
We do. We actually have one of our ACE salespeople is in San Diego. We have people in the field in Dallas, New York, Atlanta. Of course, Cincinnati, as I mentioned, Indianapolis, soon to be Washington, D.C. So we have both a headquarters-based and a field-based sales force.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking to add new people to your sales team?
We always are. We're always looking to hear from high-quality, in particular, veteran talent. It always helps to have veteran experience, so you could walk the walk and have a reference point. But the common qualities we look for is a high quality sales ability and experience, and as you said earlier, the willingness to get in there and do the work.
Mm-hmm. Again, Peter has agreed to take questions from the audience. If you have a question, you can call in on 646-595-4916. Peter, who are the perfect prospects for Recruit Military?
Most of our prospects today are at the director of talent acquisition or a corporate recruiter or sometimes their boss, who's typically a VP of HR. I'd like to find ways to get a notch higher than that, even to the C-suite, CEOs in particular. It's sometimes frustrating to us when we hear that we're fighting for a $50,000 or $100,000 contract from a large company, only to find out they just gave $500,000 to a veteran cause that was intangible, not the tangible act of actually hiring high quality talent like we can provide. But today it is primarily at that director of recruiting, HR, or talent acquisition.
Mm-hmm. So it probably wouldn't help you to use Sandler to learn how to see Vito, or the very important top officer.
No, it's very important. In effect, I'll give you a plug for sales training of all sorts. And it is there's never, like I said earlier, use that phrase, that you can never have enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you walk away disagreeing with it, you have to wrestle with the material. It's all sales training is time well spent.
Mm-hmm. The recruiting business, I know it works because we've worked with several people in your industry.
Absolutely.
Let's take a short commercial break here. Again, the call-in number will be 646-595-4916. We're going to listen to Sandler Rule number 34.
Hello, I'm Jerry Weinberg, Sandler Training, and I'm here today to talk about Sandler Rule number 34, which says work smart and not hard. So one of the things we need to do when we're involved in going after a prospect is to learn how to qualify and disqualify early on. It's been my experience, having done this for many, many years, as we coach our clients, as we train them, that they seem to spend, many of them, an incredible amount of time chasing, following up business they're never going to get. And for goodness sakes, if you're going to finish second, why do you even want to bother being in there? We don't get paid on experience. And frequently what happens is we have a prospect maybe who's on our top 10 list, let's say, and we want so badly to meet them, and we finally get an appointment with Mr. or Ms. Big, and we're brought in there, and next thing you know, we're doing a proposal to a totally unqualified situation. And maybe it's a much larger piece of business than we normally would be working with. And we wind up in Think It Overland. And next thing you know, we're following up, and we're making phone calls, and we're sending emails, and nothing's happening. I'll tell you what is happening is we're not prospecting, because we're spending too much time with prospects we're never going to do business with. In fact, I'd like you to write that question down and kind of track it over the next several days. How much time do I spend following up, chasing business I'm never going to get, and how do I suffer with that? One of the ways that you can work around that is, instead of going after a large chunk of dollars, start with a smaller piece. We call it a monkey's paw. Get some dollars, maybe for an assessment, maybe for a pilot program. You'll also keep your competition out of the picture. You'll at least feel like you're making some progress, and then you can make it work better. So, again, Jerry Weinberg, Sandler Rule number 34, work smart, not hard.
This is Mike Roth. I'm back with Recruit Military's president and CEO, Peter Goodmanson. Peter, do you guys have something like a long-term strategic plan over there at Recruit Military?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are really sort of three planning horizons. One is a sort of a five-year plan. Not sort of. It is a five-year plan. Then we have an annual strategy memo that we put together, followed by a budget that supports it, and then that's and then there's a constant refinement to that. That never ends. But the most formal process is in the fall of each year for the coming calendar year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Sandler process that I put my clients on is a 24-month strategic long-term plan. And every 6 months, we throw away the completed 6 months and review it and add 6 months on at the other end.
Makes sense.
It's the only way to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, too many uncertainties in the marketplace. You never know what's going to happen next.
That's right.
How effective is Recruit Military at achieving its goals?
Yeah, highly effective. And there are two sets of goals. They're the goals of our clients and they're the goals of the company internally. One leads to the other. If we don't satisfy the needs of our clients, nothing else matters, and we won't, of course, realize our own goals. But measured by the ability to help clients attract veteran talent, appreciate, and what I mean by appreciate is both understand and also celebrate veteran talent, and then finally retain them. So there are hard metrics around that. We can look at, in fact, that's one of the things we do is help clients understand what are those hard metrics, looking at what percentage of interviews granted, or first of all, inquiries and then interviews granted and then offers made are veterans, and then help them refine their brands as employers to make them more attractive to veterans, and finally to take steps, affirmative steps, to make sure they are retaining the best of the veteran talent.
Mm-hmm. What areas do you think your company is really good at, and which areas do you think you really need to work on?
We're good at particularly good at two things: the competence in putting on high quality events. There's a lot of detail that goes into events.
Job fairs,
right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. We call them opportunity expos or job fairs or even career fairs, all the same thing. There's a lot of detail, and if it's done right, you don't even notice it. If things go wrong, you notice right away. The most important thing is having enough employers to have candidates and enough candidates to have employers. That finding that balance is critical. We're very good at that. The second thing we're very good at is maintaining our database, attracting veterans. We add about 300 to 400 veterans per day into our database. And so it's been growing actually in the last 5 months in particular. We've actually doubled the rate of intake by search engine optimization and search engine marketing techniques to make sure veterans know we're out there and that they need to be in our database. What we need work on is productizing ideas. For example, a lot of large companies have told us they want more training. They want training on understanding veteran candidates and retaining them. Mm-hmm. And productizing that so it's not just one-offs. Probably a membership concept, using webinars and conferences to bring veteran hiring managers together across companies. So learning to productize ideas like that. We're getting better at it, but that's something we need more work.
So that would be a seminar that you put on,
for example, yeah,
for 15 employers all over the country.
Exactly. We have found that we tend to think of our customer base as discrete individuals when, in fact, they're really a community. And they may even be competitors. A UPS and a FedEx may compete against each other in the marketplace, but when it comes to hiring veterans, they have a unified view and they can learn from each other. And in fact, as professionals, they're not afraid to share best practices with each other. So we have to change our thinking from that of a hub and spoke, that it's us to many customers, and think more in terms of being a web that helps connect various customers to each other.
Mm-hmm. Are there any real changes you see that Recruit Military has to make to ensure future growth?
In terms of has to make, I think we're on the right track. I think we need to keep doing what we're doing, like I said, in terms of building community among our clients, community among our candidates. I think we need to incorporate more social tools in what we do. Increasingly, employers are realizing that, let's say, for example, you want high-quality welders. Well, the best place to find high-quality welders is the friends of other high-quality welders. So learning to use Facebook and LinkedIn and other tools to make connections in the community and taking leadership of that process is something we're going to have to learn how to do.
It sounds like you're going to need a social media department.
We have one already.
Really?
Yeah, we have one already. Social media is very important. We have something like 70,000 Facebook likes. We have an active Twitter presence. In particular, I encourage people to go to Facebook and search for Recruit Military and like us, because you'll find we took sort of a whimsical approach, and we have a lot daily. Some of them are serious postings, but many of them are sort of whimsical historical references, like today is Admiral Nimitz's birthday, or name this aircraft, and things like that. It tends to get our audience engaged, our audience of candidates primarily, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of fun and very effective.
Do you have a hashtag on Twitter?
Hashtag Recruit Military.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Simple enough.
Exactly.
You have a vision for your company, where you'd like to see the company 5 years from today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in terms of financial measures, twice the size of what we are today in terms of revenue and profit. I want to not sound too bold, but I want to own the veteran space. I want every veteran candidate to feel that if they're starting or executing a job search, they need to be in our database and they need to be attending our events without question. Likewise, I want to be the go-to source, as we are today, but even more so for all organizations who want to hire top-quality talent. Their first thought should be, I need to hire veterans, and I need to go to Recruit Military to find those veterans.
You mentioned your software. Is that a CRM that you bought off the shelf?
We actually use Salesforce.com as our CRM. We had our own internal one for many years, but we went over to Salesforce, and so far it's been quite effective. It's far more complex, but it's very has a lot of capability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sandler, a couple of years ago, developed templates to Sandlerize the most popular CRMs.
Oh, interesting.
Salesforce, Microsoft CRM, and ACT.
Right.
It's been a good use of dollars to get sales managers to be able to look in at the right parameters, the key performance right. indicators, and daily cookbook for the sales representatives. As you examine the components for growth in your world, does it center on strategy, people, or process?
All three. I'll take the easy way out. It's really all three. Being aimed, I'll use the metaphor of artillery, since that's what I used to do. You have to be aimed in the right direction. Then you have to have the right people and go about certain steps to get that round down range. And so all three are important. We're working for incremental improvements in all those areas. But if we don't have the right people, it's very hard to get it done. But we're in the people business. We are the product in many ways. Not only do our customer-facing salespeople and support people need to do an effective job, they also need to model what it is that we're selling, which is high-quality talent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As a leader, what motivates you to make tough decisions?
Keeping an eye on those leadership principles I mentioned at the beginning, which is mission accomplishment and taking care of people. And so you have to make tough decisions to make sure you accomplish the mission, but at the same time, do that with compassion and sensitivity to people, because at the end of the day, that's the second part of that leader's mission, is to take care of your people. And sometimes the way you take care of someone is separate them from the organization, because they can be successful somewhere else if they're not successful with you.
Mm-hmm. We've determined, Peter, that it takes three things for a CEO to be highly successful in business. Number one, outlook, your core beliefs as a leader. Second, desire, your passion for success. And third is commitment, your willingness to do whatever it takes. It sounds like the type of guy who wants to do whatever it takes. Can you give us a little bit more on your thoughts on each of those areas, desire?
Yeah.
Outlook and commitment?
Yeah, I would use just synonyms for the same concept. I talk in terms of vision, drive, and purpose, the why. So understanding very clearly what it is that we're trying to accomplish. In our case, it's a very, very crystal clear mission. Help organizations excel by attracting, appreciating, and retaining the highest quality veteran talent. Very easy to understand what that's all about, and it's a mission that one can be proud to mention at a cocktail party.
Mm-hmm.
So not that there aren't other important missions out there, but this is something that we feel strongly about. Drive is the genuine faith and belief that veterans make great employees, and so it's almost an evangelical zeal to spread that word. Not without exclusion, like I said, there are some veterans I wouldn't hire, but I'd 9 times out of 10 be more comfortable hiring a veteran than the non-veteran candidate. And that that sincere, passionate belief drives us. That's really, yeah, I like that word choice, and I agree entirely that that's what leaders, whether CEOs or otherwise, need to focus on.
Mm-hmm. And in hiring a vet, it's the same as hiring someone out of the general population. Don't put a round peg in a square hole.
Exactly. Fit is very important. In fact, one of the lessons veteran experienced leaders need to learn in the civilian world is in the military, we take great pride in getting the best possible results out of whatever troops you've been assigned. As Napoleon said, there are no bad regiments, just bad colonels. And there's a lot of wisdom to that. However, in the civilian world, at least in America for now, one can make more flexible choices with human resource talent, and sometimes making a change is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. But bringing in the right talent.
And if you do that at the beginning, you don't have to make the changes down the road.
Right. Collins in Good to Great was right when he said, we get the right people on the bus sitting in the right seats.
That's the key.
Most people leave out that last part about getting to sit in the right seats.
Exactly.
And that's the critical thing. Well, we're running a little bit light on time here, Peter. I want to thank you for being on the show today and an appreciation for being on the show. I'm going to be giving you a copy of one of the newest Sandler books, the 49 Sandler Rules by Dave Matson.
Great.
Went to number one on the Amazon bestseller list, stayed for 3 months on the Wall Street Journal list. And in that, there's going to be a training calendar and a free pass. You're invited to come to any one of the Sandler training classes that you can get into your schedule.
I look forward to that.
You have any last thoughts or comments about Recruit Military, Peter?
Just a thanks. Thank you for letting us letting me come out today inviting me to the show. Recruit Military is a company that anyone out there who's interested in hiring veterans or hiring high quality talent, who in this case happen to be veterans, get in touch with us online or via telephone. And we'll see if we can help you.
Good. Thanks again, Peter.
Thank you.
Scott, take it away.
Thanks for listening. This program is the property of Sandler Training by Roth & Associates, Inc. The show may be distributed only with written permission and then only in its entirety.
If you have any questions or comments, contact Mike at mikeroth@rothconsulting.net or call Mike at 513-753-9400.